Hello and welcome to another Network Alchemist production of The Networking Fools, with your Networking Fools and hosts, J.W. Najarian and Bob Schechter, as they discuss business, finance, and lifestyle.
For those listening, this is Bob Schechter. You're about to hear another business interview that we're doing. Very fortunate today that our guest is a Mr. Paul Keach. Paul is a, and I hate to use the term, but a marketing guru. Paul's got some tremendous accomplishments, and rather than list them off before we get started, I'm going to just welcome Paul, and we'll talk about all of the things that he does in the context of what he's doing right now. Paul, welcome to the interview.
Well, thanks, Bob. I appreciate it. Happy to be here.
Great. Paul, I know right now you're involved in a brand new enterprise. You're actually the author of a book, Make My Marketing Work, along with a partner. You formed a new company, and you're doing an entire series around marketing, I believe, as you called it, kind of a Home Depot type. We'll show you how. We'll get you started. We'll get you going. We'll let you do your own marketing, but we'll coach you through it. And I think one of the reasons I'm so excited to be able to talk to you about this is because so many businesses get started, and the percentages that fail, it's astronomical. And I believe that one of the main reasons is because everybody knows marketing, knows about it, has heard about it, but they don't know how to do it, and they don't even know what it is. So let's start with the first question, which would be, in your mind, what is marketing?
Well, it's a great question, and you're absolutely right. It's important to define it so that at least we have a context for what we're talking about. The way I define marketing is the acquisition and the retention of customers. And so that's the getting and the keeping of customers. And, you know, as far as that goes, you have to get a customer before you can do anything else, right? We're in the business of providing value, service or product for value. And it doesn't matter what you do, whether you're a restaurant owner, whether you're an author like I am, or whether you sell widgets or milk. The key is that you need to provide a particular value to a market that wants it in exchange for a profitable financial transaction for your business.
Makes sense.
And then, ideally, you are able to offer continuing ongoing value, whether that's in the case of milk, repeat purchases over and over again, or whether that's the case of something maybe as a service-based type of business where it's the next level of service, it's the next type of service, or even if you look at the auto industry, it's not just sell the car, it's also, the every 6 months you've got to come in and have get the checkup, get the oil change. All of those things are part of an industry.
Right.
And so that's retention, that's keeping them coming back.
And that all makes sense, but obviously when somebody goes into business, they sit there and they're overwhelmed. And I assume the first thing that you need to do is form some type of a strategy so they don't get lost, which is, again, why they fail is because they don't have a strategy to start with. So is there a particular ABCs that you start with when you deal with people?
Well, yes, there is. There's a process that we go through and that anybody can go through, really, and it's kind of a seven-step process. And the key here is to remember that everybody's strategy is actually going to be different, and ultimately the tactics that they use are going to be different. And this is actually the biggest mistake that I see business owners make. And the first thing I guess I want to do is acknowledge business owners for being hugely courageous. And this can be a really lonely path. It can be terribly terrifying to go out and do this on your own. And so it takes a lot of courage to go and do it. And it's very commendable. It's my belief that small business owners are going to help this economy recover and flourish again, and that sort of gone are the days of us relying on the big banks, the big government, the big corporations. They've all proven that they're not trustworthy.
That's true.
So I think it's the small businesses who are going to start employing people again, who are going to, bring back that community. We're seeing this stuff going on online with social marketing and social media. I think that's actually, the evolution of that is actually going to come back offline to a degree, and that the small community organizations and businesses are going to be kind of the bedrock of communities.
Right.
So with that being said, you know, every business can undertake those seven steps to determine their strategy in order to market and their particular services or products most effectively to the people who actually want them, to the people who are who have identified, self-identified that I have a particular problem or desire and I would like to fulfill that desire or solve that problem. And now they're looking for solutions in order to do that.
Right.
Those are the solutions that we as business owners provide.
Well, you note that this is a strategy, but obviously you also just mentioned that there's a difference between a strategy and a tactic. So in other words, people might have a plan in mind, but how they implement that and their tactics. What's the difference between the two, actually?
Well, a strategy is the plan. The tactic is how you execute that plan. So to use a really sort of coarse example, let's say we were digging a ditch. The tactician, the person who's just really focused on tactics, is literally just going to grab the shovel. They're going to say, if we say you have to start here and you have to go there, they're going to grab the shovel and they're going to start digging. And what's going to end up happening is that, you know, they'll dig for a while and they'll pop up and they'll realize, boy, I'm off course. And then they have to correct. And then they pop up again and they realize they're off course again. They need to recorrect. And what will end up happening is they'll have this big winding trench that or ditch that maybe isn't what exactly that they were looking for. Whereas the person who has the mind of a strategist will, you'll say, okay, we need to dig a trench or a ditch from A to B. And so they'll take stock. They'll look at the surroundings. Maybe they'll take a stake and put it at point A and take another stake and put it at point B and extend a line between them so that they have a guideline now in terms of how to get there in a straight line. Then they'll make sure that they know exactly how deep the trench or the ditch needs to be. Then they'll take stock of all the tools that they have at their disposal. You know, maybe they've actually got a trench digger and they don't need to do it all by hand with a shovel. Maybe they've got a team of people that can help them.
Right.
Maybe they've actually also got, you know, something that will allow them to measure it as they go along so that it's never too deep, it's never too shallow. And then once they have that plan in place and they know everything that they need to do, then they'll start digging. And the strategist might also, you know, take stock and say, wow, it looks like way off in the distance there's some clouds. If that storm rolls in and it starts to rain, I might need some tarp handy, so let's make sure that we've got that just in case.
Well, wouldn't the strategist be open to a paralysis of analysis because he's not digging in and just, you know, digging in, as it were, and just getting going? And I think, you know, many business owners are exactly that. They're entrepreneurs that are terrified of overthinking, and they just want to get in there. They want to dig in. They want to do things organically. And we're all told that organics does work. I mean, does a business owner have to have a particular marketing vision or really have that 3D view in order to get started?
Well, I totally get what you're saying. And there are certain times when, yeah, just raw action is needed. But, you know, as one of the people that's mentored me, Alex Mondozian, says, you know, we want to be careful not to run enthusiastically in the wrong direction. Right?
So that's very good.
Gusto is great as long as it's focused in the right direction. So the example that I would give you is, you know, if I were I'm here in my office here in Vancouver, British Columbia, if I wanted to get to Los Angeles, there's a number of ways that I could get there. The gusto way to do that would be to jump in my car and start driving.
Right.
But I don't actually know the best way to get down. I mean, I could get down into Seattle pretty easily, and I could from there maybe make my way across to Portland and to the coast, and from there it'd be relatively simple to point my vehicle south, you know, follow the coastline.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it would be the most efficient way to do it. I don't know that I would end up, you know, getting there. Maybe I would run out of gas. It's more than a day's drive. Would I know where to sleep, or would I end up in my car? So, yeah, chances are I might be able to get there, but it would be a whole lot easier if I just took, you know, a half an hour, an hour, and went, okay, is it better for me to drive, or is it better for me to fly?
Right.
Maybe I could take the train, you know, or there's a bus. What are my options? You know, okay, I'm going to drive. It's going to be a great drive. Now, where am I going to sleep? You know, how am I going to get there? All of those questions, if I have at least an idea of what those answers are and some initial thoughts about how to solve those those problems as they come up. I'm going to have a much better time. I'm going to be able to actually enjoy the scenery as I'm going along. And, you know, when I inevitably get lost, and if anyone knows me, they know that I will get lost.
Yeah.
I'll be that much better equipped to get back on track. Does
okay.
that make sense?
It absolutely does. And can I assume then in your meeting with people and your marketing strategies that you profess in your book, that what you do is you don't let people get locked into either the wrong direction or this paralysis of analysis, but rather you at least let them know that there are some simple steps. Is that kind of what you're doing in your programs now?
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's a number of questions that we can ask ourselves that will help us get some answers. And frankly, we don't just ask ourselves. We also have to ask the market that we want to serve. You know, when we talk about what our market wants and what they need, a lot of times what I find people trying to do is they're trying to force what they think their audience needs on them instead of trying to figure out what it is that they actually want.
Right.
You know, and it may be that they actually do need certain things. But if people bought what they needed, not what they want, you know, a lot less people, particularly, you know, college kids, you know, they wouldn't be spending all their money on pizza and beer. They'd be buying bread and milk.
Right, that's true. Okay.
Right, so yeah, there are some certain questions that everybody can ask that will help them find the path, right? And when you create a marketing plan, by the way, it's not like this rigid, set-in-stone thing. Once it's done, you know, we have to do it come hell or high water. Far from it, in fact. Just like driving down to L.A. from Vancouver, if I run into some traffic or if I run into some kind of, you know, roadblock, something like that, I'm not just going to sit there and try and ram my car through it. I'm going to have to figure out how to get around. I'm going to have to figure out the efficient way to carry on. But what we want to do is we want to come up with our best possible first guess.
Right.
And then we want to start doing what you're talking about. We want to start implementing. We want to start moving. But we want to also make sure that we're tracking and measuring our progress so that we can see, okay, what is that working? Am I getting a return on that investment? Whether it's time, energy, or money, it doesn't matter. You know, when we first start a business, a lot of businesses are cash poor, time
right.
rich. They've got to invest all of their time in things, but we're still making that investment.
Right.
So is it returning? Is it returning a positive outcome? If it is, great, let's do more of what's working. And if it's not, let's stop doing that. Do more of what is and less of what isn't.
Makes sense. And in this economy where we're absolutely going to see more and more entrepreneurs. I mean, I know in my industry, the real estate industry, everybody that got laid off put out their shingle. Immediately, they were in business as consultants. So we're going to see more and more of that over the next 5-10 years. So there's going to be more people going into business and obviously more people failing. And even though I know that you're gearing this up to help these people along their way, I want to take a step forward for a second. One of the people that you've had the good fortune to work with, and I happen to know her a bit, is Christine Comerford, who's
yep.
The author of Rules for Renegades. She's an extremely powerful businesswoman, a speaker as well. How could you, you know, what services do you offer somebody that's on basically the top of their game, and you would think that this controlled all of her marketing by her, you know, her peeps, as it were?
Sorry, I didn't clearly understand the question.
Well, the question is, I want to take a leap forward just to give people a perspective on what you do. I want to make sure that the people listening don't think that, you know, we have another guy that's, you know, on the internet, you know, that's hawking some, you know, hey, you know, I found the magic numbers and you can do it too. You really have, this is from experience and working on the other end. You've already gotten to the end where you work with powerful people like Dr. Deepak Chopra. And I bring up Christine Comerford only because she's such a strong personality that, you know, somebody starting out in business might say, well, wait a minute now. I'm not a Christine Comerford. I'm not Deepak Chopra. You know, what could you do for those people? You know, and so I'm trying to figure out also from what perspective you're writing your book and taking this to the people that are just starting. So I was kind of asking, what could you do for somebody on that high a level so that people starting out can see that this is something that carries forward in their business.
Right, absolutely. Okay, I got you. One of the things, so I mean...
Sorry, it's my Brooklyn accent. I apologize.
I mean, I'm always completely upfront about where I've come from, what my education is. I don't have a university marketing education. I have what I consider to be a real-world marketing education, first and foremost as a customer. I've been very aware for most of my life that I'm being marketed to and sold to on a constant basis. And I've been very aware and clear on how I react as a consumer to certain approaches and to certain messages, and how certain advertisements motivate me to take an action, whereas other ones don't. And because of that experience, that interest in the psychology of what's happening in me, first and foremost, and then in the people that you know, in my family and my friends, and then you know, eventually into my client base, that just motivated me to really learn and understand more about what goes on in this world. That started back when I was in Toronto working at a company called the Learning Annex, which is where I had the great fortune to meet some of you know the world's seminal teachers like Deepak Chopra, like Wayne Dyer, and help them host them into our city and fill events with them and learn how to do that, how to speak to people's desires and their fears and frustrations and offer a solution. And then I went to work for another master marketer, a gentleman by the name of T. Harv Eker,
right.
who taught me again even more, and from whom I learned things like direct response marketing and how to bring people to action from your efforts in getting their attention. Right, we're in an attention age. It's very difficult to get and keep someone's attention. So when you have it, you need to hang on to it, and you do that by being engaging, by being persuasive, by being clear and direct and honest, and by making very clear and strong calls to action. From there, I then went on and still do spend time working with Christine Comfort and helping with her marketing campaigns, and learned again a ton more from her as we together implemented, and I, on her behalf, implemented specific marketing campaigns to introduce products to her marketplace, to bring in, you know, to acquire and retain new customers for her business, which she is a high-end business trainer.
Yes.
She can help take businesses and accelerate them from the, you know, mid six figures level, like $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 a year, through the seven-figure barrier and up towards eight-figure annual revenues. And she has an amazing ability to do that. And so what I wanted to do, what I realized is that these big businesses that were doing multiple millions of dollars a year, over the course of my career in helping and working with them and learning from them, I realized that they were doing all of the same things. That the ones, the successful campaigns, all had those same seven steps. Where do we want to go? Who is our customer? What do they want? Who's the competition? What else is out there that might compete, might steal our lunch in this? You know, what message can we come up with that answers those fears, frustrations, and desires? Where is the most effective place to deliver that message to the people who are already with their hands up looking for the solution? Right? How do we measure the results that we're getting, and then how do we continue that marketing effort, or how do we retain customers to have them coming back again and again and again? Same seven steps, every single time, implemented differently. Harv Eker uses a seminar model where he does a free evening event to bring people in, introduce them to his message, and offer them the next live training event, which is a three-day event. At that live three-day training event, he offers enormous value and then sells other seminars and other training programs from there. You know, Christine Comfort happens to do a more, right now anyway, with her current business, a more of an online model where she brings prospects in through her social media marketing, through the free content that she puts out online, brings people in, gets those people to know, like, and trust her through that kind of an education-based marketing platform. And then offers them the next step and a layer of products through a path that lead ultimately to high-end executive consulting.
Right.
So they all have these same things. And I realized that, that even the smallest business can walk through the same seven steps and learn to apply them from where they are right now today to move that next step forward. And then from there, they might need to revise those seven steps to figure out how they move the next step forward.
Right. I think that, I mean, you brought up two points, which I think are the most important parts of marketing, and not to sound existential, but awareness is, I think, one of the most, the primary, concept that people that go into business don't get through their head is to stay aware of your surroundings, who you're selling to, who else is selling to them, how they feel, what they're thinking, and stay out of your own head and stop thinking about how you want them to react or how you think they're going to react. And I think that awareness is something that I don't know how you would transfer that information to somebody that you're working with. How do you get them to be more aware? Are there really legitimate steps that you can take them through?
Well, in order to help people be aware, it's really, they have to have a willingness to and an openness to do it. And so, when you look at our book as an initial starting point, it's really, it's written in a conversational way, but that's really designed to invite people to look at themselves and their businesses differently than they have before.
Mm.
And partly we do that by changing the format of a book. You know, it's not just a book that you go and pick up and read while you're lying in bed falling asleep at night. Ideally, it's not, because one of the things that we've provided for readers is a number of downloadable worksheets as a companion to the book, so that as you learn an idea or a concept or a theory, you're invited to then try and implement that for your own business in a practice, in a safe practice environment, not necessarily out in the real world. So, for example, when we talk about marketing vision, we have a worksheet for that, and we invite people to brainstorm and write down all these ideas that come up on their work on their marketing vision. When we talk about who is your customer specifically, we suggest in the book that you create a customer profile of your best customer, and that includes not just the psycho or the demographics, the attributes of them, but also the psychographics, the unique things about them, their preferences, their biases that make them unique. You know, the ridiculous example that I always use is trying to sell leather shoes to a vegan. It doesn't matter whether you agree with them being a vegan or not.
The fact is,
it takes too much effort to try and convince them that they're wrong so that you can sell them a pair of shoes.
That's right. Well, I want to, just for our listeners, I don't get to read every book that our authors or our interviewers have, though I would love to, and I will make a point of reading yours, because obviously it's not just a book filled with wonderful anecdotes, it's a workbook, and I could use it because I'm one of those entrepreneurs starting out as well. And I want to just stop for a second to make sure people know that they can look for the book at www.makemymarketingwork.com, www.makemymarketingwork.com. And again, this is one of those things that, when I look at these books, and it's amazing, I mean, it's on the bestseller list, so it's not just a how-to book. It's a workbook. I'm going to read it, but I'm learning with the audience. So if you could give us a little bit more about what's in the book, that would really be helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what we really try to do is take those seven steps and help you understand how to apply them to your business. So we start right at the beginning. What's your vision for your business? Do you want to be working 10 hours a week? Do you want to be working 50 hours a week? Do you want to have $50,000 per month coming in, or do you want to have $500,000 a month coming in? What is the vision? What do you have what is the vision that you have for your business? And when we do this, we really encourage people to be, you've heard of SMART goals before.
Right.
Which is specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-based. I think I've got those right.
Yes.
one of the key factors there is, it's kind of the realistic. It's one thing to have grandiose plans for your business, but what I believe in setting stretch goals. So, you know, I want to take something, I want to figure out what I'm 100% sure I can accomplish, and then set my sights about 15 or 20% beyond that.
Okay.
And if I hit that basic threshold of what I'm pretty sure, I'll be satisfied. I'm not going to be rocking happy, but I'm going to be satisfied. If I hit that stretch goal, I'm going to be really pleased with myself. And you know what? If I pass that stretch goal, well, boy, you can bet that my celebration is going to be in the same level as my success. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I believe that celebration is a huge part of creating, you know, a winning mentality. And you have to have a winning mentality. And by winning mentality, I don't mean you have to be confident. Confidence helps. I don't mean yet you have to be arrogant. Arrogance in my world doesn't help. But what I mean by having a winning attitude is that you believe in yourself, you believe that it can happen, and when you achieve something, you have a reward that you give yourself. You pat yourself on the back and say, you know, Paul, that's a job well done. Good for you. And for me, and probably for you, Bob, as well, and I can imagine for a lot of people listening to this, who maybe don't have a huge team surrounding them, who don't have people who are going to do that pat on the back for you. You know, employees have bosses. Bosses are there to, you know, obviously provide direction, but also to provide encouragement and appreciation.
Absolutely.
Pretty much every survey out there says that the number one thing employees want more of is not more money. That's second, usually. It's actually more acknowledgement, more appreciation.
Right.
As entrepreneurs, who's going to give that to us if we don't give it to ourselves? So that's a real big part of the book. You know, then we go through and help you really figure out who is your target audience. I mean, and who are they really? You know, a lot of people will say, well, everybody. Everybody needs milk.
That's right.
You know, well, not everybody needs milk, actually. You know, I'm one of those people who don't drink milk.
Right.
You know, I get my calcium from another place. You know, and we don't need to talk about my psychographic preferences of why I don't drink milk. But pretty much nobody's going to be able to convince me that I'm wrong on this point, because they are going to be able to persuade me that calcium is good for me. That we can agree on. That's why I get it elsewhere. But I choose not to get it from a cow. That's just how I operate, you know. That's one of those weird things that makes me. And if you don't know that about me and you try and bombard me with some message that is counter to what I'm going to do, I'm going to tune you out. It doesn't matter how important your message is.
Right.
It doesn't matter if I need it if I don't agree with you, or if you try and make me wrong, right, as a consumer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important to understand not just what your customer is. Those are the demographics, the attributes, the age, the gender, the where they live, how much they earn, are they married, do they have kids, all those things. Those are things that you can use to describe what a person is. You can put them in a bucket. But then there's these things called psychographics, and psychographics, for the big fancy word that it is, it's just what they think about things. It's their preferences, and it's crazy people like me who don't like milk. You know? And that's just one of the things that makes me.
But you can't target based on that, though.
I'm sorry?
It's very difficult to target based on psychographics.
Well, not necessarily. Because if you can know that about me, if you're trying to sell nutrition as an example,
right,
which is really where the milk factor comes in, the argument for milk is calcium and bone density and all these other things. If you're selling to me and you want to sell me whether it's milk or an off-related thing, it's important to know that that's my preference. So there's lots of ways to know that about people, and the easiest one, frankly, is to pick up the phone and ask them. And that's one of the things that we recommend people do is, and we have a script for this that we include with the book, is a sample customer call. You know, just pick up the phone and call them and ask them a few questions about themselves. You know, who are they? What are they? You know, what do they think about the world? You know, and you're not always going to. I mean, you're not going to ask me about whether or not I drink milk if your business is real estate, right?
Right.
That's irrelevant to you.
Right, but a focus group in your...
One of the things you might ask me is, do I like any particular outdoor activities? Because that's going to inform my decision-making about where I live.
Right.
Right. I happen to be a skier and a rock climber, and I love getting outside and hiking and doing all sorts of things. That's why I live where I live.
Right. Florida wouldn't do anything.
That's a psychographic piece of information that's important for you to know.
Right. I wouldn't sell you Florida land because it's flat.
That's right. That's
okay.
Right.
But, I mean, obviously that's great. You would have people do a kind of small focus group. And that tends to work when you're beginning back to this localization, which by the way, is the new wave, and I think you already mentioned that we went from broad-based getting out into the world wide web, and now everybody's backing up and focusing on localization. But how do you tell people who are, for the most part, I think the numbers are somewhere around 75, or they said 80% of the new businesses that are started in the next 5 years are going to be internet-based businesses. And for the most part, those people are taking a shotgun approach. I'm going to put up a website, and I'm going to hope that the bazillion people out there are going to buy my widgets. How do you get them to stop and focus on a real marketing tactic that makes more sense so that they spend less time out in the World Wide Web and more time trying to do what you're saying, which is know who you're selling to, and you've got a better chance of selling?
Yeah, well, exactly, and pick a really specific group of people. Yeah, you know, what I'd encourage is that anybody who's listening to this who is somebody who really wants to do that, to throw up a website and sell widgets to the masses.
Mm-hmm.
I really want you to stop and think about what you're doing. And I want you to, whether it's me or whether it's somebody else, it doesn't matter. I want you to talk to somebody who's done it before, because it's not going to work. I'm a big fan of get rich slowly.
Okay, and organically, and I agree. And by the way, I used widgets, but here's another example. In our industry, the real estate industry, it costs $49 now to go out and get yourself a website where you can get people to put their properties on, and you're in business. You're a real estate broker. You're in business tomorrow, and they're popping up at an it's exponential. The rate is incredible, and the failure rate is presumably going to be incredible. How do people that are just, again, the internet is just too wide open, and there has to be some marketing strategies that these people can follow. Do you help those people? Or can you help those people?
We can, absolutely. The key is are they helpable? And by that I mean, are they willing to challenge their own belief that all they have to do is throw up a website for $50 a month? One of the great things about the internet is also one of the unfortunate things about the internet when it comes to starting a business. The great thing about it is that it's really cheap to start a business.
Right.
The part of that that's really unfortunate is that it's really cheap to start a business.
Right.
And
okay.
What I mean by that is that because it's so cheap, it's $50 a month. So you know, Joe Blow is going to go and set up his real estate website. He's going to get a bunch of listings on there. He's going to pay $50 a month. Maybe he'll go and spend another couple hundred dollars a month on pay-per-click traffic that he has no idea how to set up and how to actually use properly, because he's never figured out who his customer is, how he's going to get them, how he's going to persuade them that he has what they need, that he actually understands what it is that they fear, what frustrates them, and what they desire for the future. He hasn't taken the time to figure any of that stuff out. But it doesn't matter, because it's only a couple hundred bucks a month.
Right.
So he's only going down maybe a few, three, four, five, $6,000 a year, you know?
If that much.
But it's not that much, and it's so easy to get 3 and 4 and 5 years down the road and be $15,000 or $20,000 down.
Right, and have wasted 4 or 5 years of your life.
Exactly.
Right, and we see it again, and one of the reasons that, you know, I wanted to talk to you about this part of it is because we see so many people that are out of work, underwork, and they're trying anything now, And the new frontier is to just post these websites. You can see them everywhere, especially in our industry. We get emails constantly from companies that say very just like that, hey, I'll set up the website. I'll do this for you. You just join our group, and you'll be in and you'll have a website. You'll be in business tomorrow. And when you have no business, you start gravitating towards that. And at best, I've seen people tell me that they're going and buying, you know, Marketing 101, and they're going to try and follow along, but they need better tools, which is, again, when JW mentioned that you would be willing to talk to us, I was hoping that that through talking to you, our listeners and our industry specifically would understand that there are good tools out there. So, for instance, your book, though you say it's great for the beginner, it's something that is scalable. They get the concepts that can take them through their 5 years of hard work and maybe have something at the end of that tunnel.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we really tried to do is create a marketing education that you can use, that you can build on over time. Because you know what? First of all, there's a couple of things you said there that I just want to touch on before I forget them. What you talked about with, you know, just throw up a website, we'll do it. That's what I call spaghetti marketing, right? You pick up some spaghetti, throw it against the wall, see what sticks.
Right.
As long as you're paying attention to actually what stuck, and then you select the right spaghetti noodles that will stick based on what you learned, that can work. I mean, you got to start somewhere.
Right.
But the problem is, people just keep doing that. They just keep, you know, there's another S word that people use to throw against the wall and see what sticks.
Right.
So for the sake of this call, we'll keep it as spaghetti.
Okay.
When we wrote the book, what we really wanted to do is we wanted to give people, you know, there's that old saying, give a man a fish, feed him for a day, teach him to fish, feed him for life.
Right.
Marketing, whether our listeners really want to admit this or not, every business owner, their number one priority has to be marketing. They have to be marketers. You can be an expert, and part of the problem is that business owners are experts at something, or they've developed a solution to a particular problem through whether that's a process, a system, a service, or a product. Right? They've developed a solution, and they're experts at that solution. What they're not expert at is getting the right people who need that solution to learn about it, so that they can use the solution to get the desired result that they want. Right? Ultimately, that's what we want. I want my customers to get what they want.
Right.
In my case, my customers want a business that's thriving. But what their customers want, you know, it depends. I have a client who's a massage therapist. His clients want to be free of back pain. That's what they want. So people who, in his area, he's a holistic therapist who uses massage and exercise and diet to help people rid themselves of back pain. People in his area who have back pain, who are debilitated by back pain, and if you've ever had even the slightest bout of lower back pain, you know how painful and how debilitating it can be.
Right.
If there's anybody in his area who suffers that problem, they deserve for him to market as best he possibly can so that they can find the solution to their pain. He owes that to those people, so that they have the option of saying, yes, that's I'm going to invest in myself or not.
Right.
Right. If they're just suffering because they don't know that there's a solution out there, or they can't find a solution that works, or that will work permanently, or what have you, he's doing them a disservice by not reaching them.
That's
the same is true of any other product or service. There are people out there who need it. You know, the big old example is, if you had the cure for cancer, would you not do absolutely everything you possibly could to make sure everybody who ever suffered from this disease knew that you had the solution?
I would, with one caveat. But with one caveat, though, obviously, I would have to do it within my means. And of course, that's
you would absolutely.
You know, that's one of the things. Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons that we started the site that we have, and we do these programs, is to try and bring people these books like yours, things, tools and products that they normally would not have found, that we think are phenomenal values, because they can't hire you. I mean, let's be honest. Most of these people that are just starting out would love to be able to call Paul Keach and say, "Paul, get me from the from start to making $1 million." But they're terrified. They don't have a nickel to their name. There needs to be something in between, and a book like yours is exactly the tool that we want to make sure it gets out to the public.
Well, yeah, and I appreciate that, and I hope that your readers, and particularly those who can't afford, who don't have two nickels to rub together, to actually hire someone to work with them in a one-on-one, like get focused and specific on their business. If there's somebody listening to this who can't do that, do whatever you can to scrounge up $20 and get this book, because it will help you move it forward. It's not going to make you rich tomorrow. Remember, we talked about get rich slowly.
Right.
I want to be really clear. I'm not promising, you read the book and you'll be rich the day after, just by pure osmosis when you wake up. But you will have a new skill set that you can start to build upon. You're not going to be an instant expert. It's taken me most of my life to acquire this experience and knowledge.
Right.
So it's not going to happen overnight, instantaneously. And anybody that tells you that you spend $50 and get this website and you'll have thousands of visitors and thousands of dollars in your bank account every month, don't walk, run in the opposite direction, because they're stealing your money.
Right.
Their business is not doing it. If their business was doing what they're selling you, they would just do it. Selling you that.
That's right. Well, I have another question I want to make sure I ask you. I don't want it to get too late here. I am the type of person that there's no governor between my brain and my mouth, so I tend to say things very, very off the cuff. Well, that's good. That's good, because I want to ask you if you ever get into the situation, because I know I have already, where people go into business because they know they have to do something out of desperation, but they have no clue, so they just say, "I'm going to be in business tomorrow." So they're going to go out, they're going to buy your book, and they're going to say, "Okay, I'm going to follow the steps." Is there a point that you work with people where you say, "Hey, you know what, you're an idiot. You need to have at least a business, at least something in mind before you go out and try and market it." Do you ever get to the point where you have to be that blunt and smack somebody and say, "Hey, wake up"?
Sometimes, yeah, absolutely. My recommendation, if there are people listening to this who have a job and they're thinking about quitting the job and starting a new business tomorrow, I say don't do it. Don't do it yet is actually a better way to say that.
Okay.
One of the people that I've learned a lot from is a gentleman by the name of Michael Masterson. And he has what he calls a chicken entrepreneur philosophy. And I encourage anybody who currently has a job to take the chicken entrepreneur philosophy. And that is, keep your job, start the business on the side, and don't quit the job until you either have 6 to 12 months of money built up from this side small business, or until the revenue is such that you know that if you quit the job and focus all of your energy on it, you'll be able to ramp it up that quickly.
Right.
Be a chicken. It's okay. It's okay. Now is not the time to be making reckless moves with your family and your house and all of these other things at stake. If you have a job, as much as you might hate it, just get up an hour early, stay up an hour later, whatever it is, you can find time, turn off the TV, whatever you need to do to find an extra hour or two a day to work on the business while you do your job, do that.
Right.
Now, I also realize that there's a lot of people who might be listening to this who, for whatever circumstances, are not working right now.
That's right.
If that's the case, what I suggest is that, everybody has an expertise of some kind. Everybody can begin to consider how their experience or their expertise or their knowledge can help other people. And you don't have to be the guru to end all gurus in a particular area. you just have to be a few steps ahead of the people that you're going to sell that information, that knowledge to.
Right.
So, for example, if you're a new mom who has just learned how to start an online business, you know, you could teach other new moms who have just had their babies how to begin the process of starting their online business.
Good example.
You know, if your mortgage and your livelihood absolutely depended on it, you know, would you go and wash windows? You can literally print up 100 flyers and go and distribute them in your neighborhood. You know, and you can make $15 or $20 an hour washing people's windows. You can do it shoveling driveways. You can do it raking leaves. You can do it cleaning houses. You know, if you want to come and clean my bathroom, my kitchen, vacuum my floors, you know.
Okay.
You know, there are things that people need and want. I hate cleaning. I hate it.
Right.
I know it needs to be done, so I do it, but I hate it.
Okay. There's not much marketing involved in that, though.
Well, but the thing is, you have to reach out to people. You have to let them know that you offer this service, and you have to position the service in such a way that people respond to it.
Okay.
So if you're going to clean houses, you know, you might do a flyer that's got a headline that says something like, hate cleaning, but don't like living in a messy house.
Yeah.
You know, if I read that, I'd be like, uh-huh.
Okay.
You know, hand up, that's me.
So back to my point then, is what you're saying is at the very least, you have to pick something.
You have to pick something.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, because that's what people do. Especially I go back to, because we are a social media site and we deal with people in our real estate business as well, but they're inundated with the concept of affiliates, where you don't really have to know anything or do anything. You just throw up a website and just throw on a bunch of affiliates, and tomorrow you're going to make a fortune. And, you know, and that's not something I can imagine that you could market or produce a marketing goal, because you don't really have a clue what it is you're selling. It's just a day-by-day thing. And I think that people set themselves up for failure by doing that, and I just want to make sure, you know, when we talk about these things, that people realize, and like you said, slow is better than that get rich quick. And I don't want people to think that, well, now I've spoken to Paul Keach, and all I've got to do is follow his quick step plan, and well, by next year this time, I'll be doing, you know, $1 million worth of business. It doesn't work that way, unless at the very least, it can. But you have to have something that you are focused on, or you're going to be just floundering around. And I think all the more in this market now, in this economy, you just can't be a generalist, if you will.
That's right. And you know, you need to stop, and you need to say, okay, here's where I am right now. Here's point A. Point B is over there. It's clearly defined. It's specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-based. Right, and I need to dig a 3-foot-wide, 3-foot-deep, perfectly squared ditch from point A to point B, and I need to do it in 12 months. How am I going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and once you figure out, okay, if that's what I need to do, then you can look and say, well, is it, you know, if I give myself 12 months to dig that ditch, well, how long is the ditch? Is it from here to L.A.? I don't know if I'd be able to do that. You know? Is it from here to the house across the street? Well, I could do that in probably 12 hours.
Right.
You know, so you have to understand what it is that you're trying to accomplish. Is it realistic? The key, you know, that affiliate marketing thing is it's one of the biggest myths online or in business generally right now, is that, yeah, throw up a website, put a bunch of links to other people's products. You don't even need to have your own products.
Right.
And, you know, within a few days, you could have sales coming in. And you don't have to fulfill them. You don't have to do anything.
That's right.
You know, technically, that's true.
Yeah.
Technically, it is true. However, again, you have to take the time. What market am I going to serve? What group of people who have a specific problem that they share am I going to target this website towards? Once I know that, how am I going to attract them to come and visit this website so so that they'll even see these offers from all these other people.
Ah, okay. Well, that makes sense.
You know what I mean? So I mean, you can throw up any website, but are there people who actually care, first of all? And if they do, how are they going to find out? If you put up a website that has, you know, affiliate marketing products or affiliate products for acne treatment and business development training and how to learn how to play guitar in 30 days or less, like, people are going to just be flat out confused. They're going to be like,
that's true.
I'm going to be the acne-free musician who knows how to make money online with my music.
Well, do you
know? Okay, maybe.
Well, do you talk about that in your book? In other words, you know, get focused and understand what your plan is before you start, obviously.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And that's all part of that, understanding who your primary target audience is.
Right.
Who is this group of people, and what common problem do they share? And then you know, and the question really to ask yourself is, what keeps them up at night? You know, what keeps them up? At 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, they're awake, they're tossing and turning, they can't sleep because their mind's just churning on something. What is it that it's churning on? If you can figure that out, you can have a successful business, because if you can solve that problem, people will pay for it.
That's right. Well,
people will pay for it.
Because I'm involved in all this internet stuff, I could keep you on all night talking about marketing, but I have one more question, which you know, I think the listeners really, you know, would be interested in, which is, do you discuss or talk about in your book the inevitable, which is there will be some failures? I mean, you can set yourself up for success, but how do you deal with failure? You know, is there a plan to work with it?
Yeah, it's not something we talk about specifically in the book, but it's a great question. The reality is, you're going to fall down.
Right.
You're going to fall down. But anybody listening to this, I'm going to assume that probably 99.9% of people listening to this walk on their own two feet.
Okay.
Okay? And it's something that we take absolutely for granted, but if you think about it, it's actually one of the most incredible things physiologically that we do as human beings.
That's true.
That we can stand up and walk on two feet. We don't need to walk up with our hands on the ground and things like that. However, we weren't born walking, right? We had to learn. We had to start by crawling around on all fours and pulling ourselves along in our bellies, and then we had to pull ourselves up on the furniture, and then we had to hang on as we walked around, and then we had to fall flat on our faces.
Right.
A lot. We just don't remember it. We don't have that conscious memory of it.
Sure.
But we had to go through that process in order to be able to take this for granted now. The same is true of riding a bike. The same is true of swimming. The same is true of all of these things that we do, and I know not everybody maybe can swim or ride a bike, but most people can do both of those things. And it's like just like riding a bike, right? Once you've learned how to do it once and you've become proficient at it, even if you take time off from it and come back to it, it'll come back very naturally.
Right.
So you will fall down. You sometimes might even bloody your nose up a little bit. It's not always going to feel good, which is why you need to have a system of positive reinforcement built in, which is that celebration, that pat yourself on the back. And sometimes you need to pat yourself on the back just for getting up again.
True.
I fell down over and over and over again, but you know what? I'm still standing.
Well, and I do know that the adage that the bigger they are, the harder they fall, is true when it comes to, and I'll just use Christine Comfort as an example, but somebody of that stature who's as powerful and driven as she is, she also has to have setbacks. And that's where I assume, you know, when you're marketing and you're helping somebody market in that position, how do you deal with those kind of people that might look at you and say, it's your fault, you know, you did this to me because that's why I'm a failure. I mean, is that something that you help people through?
Yes, absolutely. Actually, one of the things that we talk about at the end of the book, and one of the things that sets as a marketing coach and marketing consultant is I have a almost an obsession with measuring your marketing results. So making sure that there are functions in place that allow you to know whether something worked or didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So online, that's actually really easy. You install Google Analytics on your website. You do a certain promotion or this or that or whatever, and you'll know that traffic came in from a particular place.
Right.
Right. People are going to be listening to this this interview. People are going to come and visit my website. They're going to click on the link from Networking Fool, and I'm going to know that this investment of time and energy worked. To whatever degree it works. I'm going
right.
to know that because online it's easy to tell that stuff.
That's true.
Offline, not always so easy.
Right.
But there are a lot of ways that you can do it. And so let me give you just a couple of quick ideas. If you have an offline business, say you have a brick and mortar store and you run an advertisement, you've got to have a clip this coupon or mention this ad or something like that in order to be able to measure it. So it's like clip this coupon and bring it in to save 10%. Right? That way you know that the investment that you made in that particular advertisement brought 50 people into the store and 13 of them purchased something and it was worth this much to you, so you spent this, you made this, now you know.
Right.
Okay? If you have something where you're having people call you, you can say, you could say call and ask for Susie Q. Well, Susie Q doesn't work for me, but when somebody calls and asks for Susie Q,
yes.
I know that it came from magazine A.
Right.
When somebody calls and asks for Samantha, it came from magazine B.
Correct.
Do you know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And so somebody asks, no, sorry, Susie Q is not available, but my name is Paul. How can I help you? It's totally seamless. But now you just put a little check mark on your little tracking form that says we got an inquiry from magazine A.
Right.
They asked for Susie Q. Right? If you're going from, say, a magazine to your website, how do you know that this magazine advertisement drove people, because they're not clicking, right, they have to go and type in the web address, how do you know where that came from?
Right.
The easy way is to invest $10 and get what I call a vanity URL or a branded domain name that's different from your own domain name, but that just points back to your domain name. So, for example, what's that workout gym? Bowflex. You know what Bowflex is, right?
Sure. It's collecting dust in my attic.
They have, I'm kind of a fitness guy, and I get Men's Health magazine all the time.
Right.
Well, in Men's Health magazine, they have two ads for Bowflex. In ad number one, the domain for more information is menshealthbowflex1.com. The domain in ad number two is menshealthbowflex2.com.
Ah,
so not
right.
only do they know that it came from Men's Health magazine, they know which of the two advertisements generated the action.
That's true. Good measurements.
Okay. So all of that is to say, when you measure your results and you run into a quote-unquote failure where you didn't get the results that you expected, at least you have now some intelligence. You have some information about what worked and what didn't.
Right.
It's like, okay, so, and I'll just use an example with Christina. I'm going to make something up. But let's say we did an email campaign to a sales letter with a particular product offer. So we can look. There's a bunch of specific things that we can look at there. We can look at, did the email get delivered? Or did we get a higher than normal spam rating or whatever on that email?
Mm-hmm.
So did the email even make the inbox?
That's right.
Then we can look at the open rate. Was there something, is the open rate normal? Is it high or is it low? If it's normal or high, that's the subject line causes people to open it, right? Then we can put a tracking link where we ask people to click for more information. So we can put a tracking link on that. So now we know how many people clicked.
Right.
So now we know also what percentage of people who opened it clicked. Is that in line with our benchmark or with our averages, with our norm?
Right.
And then they land on the page, and then a certain number of those people will click the order button and go on to make their purchase.
Right.
So we can look at that and say, wow, okay, so we had higher than average open rates, great subject line. Now we have a win, right? We just say, even if the sales results suck, now we know something good.
Mm-hmm.
The right. Email, wow, and so the email, the click rate was actually really high as well. Cool, so the email copy was good.
So even if you fail, at least you know what worked so that the next time you turn it into a success.
We can continue to build. It's not always going to be a home run every time, you know?
Right.
The World Series just ended. It didn't go the way I wanted it to, frankly, but I love World Series baseball.
Okay.
Okay, baseball players. Baseball players get paid, what, $10-15 million a year?
Bizarre.
To not get on base more than half the time. Right?
That's true. Yeah, I know.
It's
I love
true,
that.
True, right?
Yeah.
So a baseball player, a great batting average in baseball,
oh,
like 3-3.
Yeah, oh, that's incredible.
Right?
That's one out of three.
Yeah, if you think about that, right, they have one success out of every three tries.
Yeah, it is amazing.
If you could get paid the same rate for the same failure rate, I'd take it.
Yeah, I know. Well, look at, we look at golf. Even, you know, golfers they win two tournaments a year, and they're in the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, but that's because they do just that. They learn from the mistakes so that they can find their successes, and I think that one of the problems that the new entrepreneurs have is they just, the minute they hit a roadblock, they just see it as a failure, and that's it. They're done. They're moving on, and they're trying, you know, maybe a new business, as opposed to learning from this business. They just say, well, I'm going to sell widgets instead of selling, you know, the other gadgets. I mean, I don't know where people get the impression that because they start it, people will come, you know, but that is the common belief, you know, and I see it all the time in our industry, people calling me up saying, you know, here's my site, go ahead, put your properties on there. Now, by the way, I don't sell properties. That's not the end of the business I'm in. And if they knew me and they were marketing to me, they would know that. So there's an entire concept of marketing and business that's missing. People are just looking for, I'm starting it, I'm a success. And in between, they're not willing to learn anything. And again, I go back to, a lot of it has to do with people don't think they can afford a Paul Keach. So something that you offer here, which is the book, I think is phenomenal. And I hope everybody goes and buys it now.
Well, and I do, and I'll be selfish and say I do too. And it's a small investment too for a great value.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to say, you know, we do our best to find ways to help as many people as we can. Not everything has to be one-on-one all the time. That is expensive. I won't hide the fact that working with me one-on-one can be costly. It's not for everybody.
Right.
But we do have other things that people can do in terms of video coaching, in terms of group coaching, in terms of working with some of our other coaches to get this kind of information, to get that accountability. Accountability is huge. You know, one of the things that we talk about is we call stir your marketing. We talked about strategy. We talked about tactics, right?
Mm-hmm.
The actual things that you do. Then you have to, once you've figured out the strategy that you're going to use, the tactics you're going to employ, then you actually have to implement them. You have to go out there and do them. And a lot of people stop there. They do it once. It doesn't get that immediate win result, so they stop.
Right.
The R is for rhythm. You've got to keep doing it. You've got to develop that. You know, it's like when you're in a canoe or you're in a boat, you can't just paddle once and hope you're going to get across the lake.
Right.
You know, you've got to keep doing it. You've got to do it rhythmically, especially if there's multiple people paddling. Otherwise, things get all out of whack.
That's true.
Right. And so those are the real important pieces. You've got to develop a strategy, figure out which tactics are most appropriate for you. You've got to start implementing, then you've got to do that rhythmically. You've got to develop the habit of doing it. And if you don't have loads of cash, then you've got to find ways that you can leverage your time and your energy in order to market yourself effectively. And you can do that online is a great place to start. it's not going to get instant results. You can't
right.
go and put one article on one article directory and get 1,000 people coming to your website. It just doesn't happen.
Right.
If you have money, you can get 1,000 people coming to your website tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's
well,
just, you may not convert those people, and it may be a waste of money.
Right.
So you've got to, you know, all of these things you've got to figure out. You've got to test them. You've got to see what works. And before you go investing tons and tons and tons of money, you know, figure out, do people even want this thing?
Well, I hope we haven't scared the people that are listening. And by the way, we have a business panel discussions that we do in our CREPEG organization. And one of the topics, because so many people are involved in social media and the business end now, one of the discussion groups is going to revolve around this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring up some of these, the many acronyms that you've used, and I'm going to kind of bring out excerpts of our discussion if these people haven't listened to it, though I hope they have. And if you don't mind, in a couple of months after we've gone through these panel discussions, I may drag you back on, and maybe you can answer some of the questions actually on a panel. If you think you'll have the time, that would be... Okay, great.
We'll
pick your brains.
Absolutely. And one of the things, you know, that is important for me is to not hide behind my laptop. You know, it's so easy to just sit there and strategize and do the online part of my business all the time. It's really important to me actually to get out in front of people, whether that's on the phone or whether it's one-on-one in a group on a panel, whether it's going out to seminars, whether it's as a presenter or in the audience and just networking with people, even just getting out and, you know, going and talking to people in my local community. It's important. I don't run, for me personally, I don't like to run a business that's just me hiding behind my website. I like to infuse my business with me. And I like to actually talk to people because, you know, after a while, I'm pretty poor company.
Well, you have a great speaking voice, and you do a great job. I imagine you do some speaking here and there as well?
I do, yeah. I love to get out and talk to people again. And we go over these seven steps and get kind of active in creating some forward movement and generating a strategic marketing plan.
All right. Well, again, I don't want to keep you all night, so I'm going to end it with thank you very much. Again, this is Paul Keach. His new book, Make My Marketing Work, you can find it at www.makemymarketingwork.com. Hope everybody listening has enjoyed it, learned something. Go out and buy Paul's book. Let's meet at the CREPEG site and discuss it. And then we'll bring Paul back, and maybe we can answer some questions for you. Paul, thank you very much for taking the time. It was great. I learned a lot. And I hope to hear from you again.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right, thanks again. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Networking Fools Show, featured on Blog Talk Radio and on the Networking Fools website at www.networkingfools.com. Networking Fools is the property of Network Alchemists. Networking Fools, Network Alchemists, Nalchemists, and Nalchemy are trademarks of the Network Alchemists, LLC, and this podcast is copyright 2010, and all rights are reserved.